the net stations. In the center, taking up most of the room, are two worn leather couches and four sling chairs. I note that the chair's fabric matches Mitch's cheddar cheese hair. Two boys and one girl occupy them. None of them look like they could be a Dr. Ray.
"Where's Ray?" Mitch asks.
"Cease conferencing," the girl offers.
Mitch raises her eyebrows.
"With Mr. Collins, I presume?"
No one answers. I conclude it wasn't a question because Mitch appears satisfied and moves on.
"Let me introduce Jenna. She's going to be joining your group."
The boy whose back is to me stands up, turns, and I recognize him. He's the boy from the mission with the dirty hands and black hair.
"Ethan," he says. He doesn't offer a smile or a hand, but his eyes are clearly focused on mine.
The girl struggles to get up. She has a brace in each hand.
"I hope to lose these soon," she says.
She tucks one brace under her arm and reaches out her other hand.
"I'm Alice."
Her hand is stiff and cool. Mitch turns, not waiting for the rest of the introductions.
"Ray will be in soon, I'm sure. Carry on," she says as she leaves.
The other boy steps forward, wipes his palms on his jeans, and then stuffs them in his pockets, apparently deciding not to offer one after all. He is thin and small.
"I'm Gabriel. Hi."
"Hello," I say to them all. "Where's the rest of your class?"
"This is it, Cupcake. Welcome to Freaks Unlimited."
I spin around. A young man fills the doorway.
"Shut up, Dane."
Dane ignores Ethan and smiles at me.
"So, this is our latest addition. Very nice. Ethan's right for once. Nothing freakish about you."
He carefully looks me over, like he's trying to decide something.
"We've met?"
"A couple days ago, I was outside..."
"My house, yes. I remember." "So you're Jenna Fox."
I never told him my last name. Did Mitch? Dane saunters past me and plops onto the couch. He's full of smiles. He seems to be the happiest of the group.
"You can put your stuff in there, if you like," Alice tells me, pointing to a cabinet behind the library tables.
All I have is a small knapsack containing my vial of nutrients, but I go ahead and walk to the other end of the room to put it away.
"Wrong," Dane calls out. "I stand corrected. You are one of us."
I turn back to him.
"Pardon me?" I say. "Your feet?"
"Leave it, Dane."
"What? We're supposed to pretend she doesn't walk funny?" "Right, Alice, and you've got all your digits, and Ethan has a magnetic personality."
"Eat it," Ethan says, and falls back into one of the sling chairs. Gabriel slinks into the corner and sits at a net station, looking small and thankful to be under the radar. Alice works her way back to her chair.
"Learn to ignore him, Jenna. The rest of us do."
"I walk funny?" "It's okay," I say. "I had an..."
"Don't discuss the accident."
"An illness. I'll be better soon."
"That's what we all say," Dane answers.
Dr. Ray breezes into the room.
"Jenna, you're here. Welcome. And you've all been getting acquainted? That's nice."
"Nice. I need to look that word up again." Ethan. I get a turn at conferencing with Ray. She doesn't like to be called doctor. She says we're all learning colleagues. She tells me details of her life. "Since we're colleagues," she says, "I should know as much about her as she knows about me. She's 48, older than Claire, but she looks about 10 years younger. I wonder what has aged Claire so." She says she moved here from Ohio when she was a teenager. It was hard for her to move at that age.
"Was your move from New York difficult for you?"
she asks.
"New York. Right.
Mother says not to tell we are from Boston. Reporters are always bothering Father, and she wants peace and quiet."
"No,"
I say. "I slept right through it." She smiles.
"It sounds like you're flexible, Jenna, and have a sense of humor. That will take you far."
I let her think what she wants. She tells me that the 3 days a week that we meet, teacher collaborators will instruct on core subjects. State requirements are modified as much as possible to complement the ecosystem's emphasis. This morning, while she and I conference, Ethan is leading a discussion with the others on Walden. Apparently, literature is Ethan's strength. Gabriel is a teacher collaborator for problem-solving and logic. Alice leads science and ethics. Dane leads art explorations. Ray fills in the holes.
Would you be interested in leading us in historical explorations? We're just about to begin a discussion of Easter Island and the...
Easter Island was settled approximately AD 300 by the Rapa Nui. By AD 1000, deforestation was underway to satisfy the islanders' demand for Moai construction. The loss of forests resulted in erosion, which in turn accelerated the rapid decline of trees on the island. By 1600, the failing resources of the island could no longer support the population, and as a result, cannibalism... I notice Ray's peculiar expression, so I stop.
Yes, I guess you do know your history, she says.
I'm familiar with Walden, too, if Ethan needs help. I'm more than familiar. I could recite it word for word, but I don't tell her that. I'm startled at this revelation myself. Until she mentioned it, I had no recollection of Walden. I must have loved literature, too.
I see. She looks back at my questionnaire.
I know what she's going to say before the words leave her mouth. Weaknesses? You have no weaknesses? It skips through me. Catches. Weakness. Please, Jenna, we need you. Why do I see Kara's and Locke's faces? They couldn't have been my weaknesses. They feel more like my strengths.
And no weaknesses?
I didn't write them down.
Would you like to share?
Share? I'm afraid. I'm lost. I have no friends. It keeps coming back to that. Why does it bother me so? I have no friends. Which weakness shall I tell her?
I walk funny, I say, and she is satisfied with that.
Morning collaborations continue until 11. I correct Ethan twice in his evaluations of Walden. I want to be his friend. Friends help friends. It's my second time that prompts him to raise his voice.
But it was his rejection of materialism and the Industrial Revolution that was the point of his move to Walden Pond, and the strength of the entire...
Not true, I tell him. It was a private journey as much as a public one. He was searching for his personal essence as much as he was making a political statement.
But
in his final conclusion, he says, "It is life near the bone, where it is sweetest." And building on that, he says, "I sat at a table where were rich food and wine in abundance and obsequious attendants, but sincerity and truth were not, and I went away hungry from the inhospitable board."
But what about...
And, of course, much earlier, he plainly states, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to..."
I get it, Ethan snaps.
Dane, Alice, and Gabriel stare at me. Ethan looks away. Ray is quickly flipping through Walden, running her fingers down the pages. Finally, she raises her eyes to me, too. Dane stands.
"The only thing Thoreau and I have in common is that we're both hungry," he says. "I'm out of here."
Ray looks at her watch.
11, yes, it's time for our break. Thank you, Jenna, and
you too, Ethan." Dane is already out the door. Ray is drawn away by Mitch and something more important than me. The others stand awkwardly. I can see I've upset the balance. Do they have to include the new girl who walks funny in their break plans? Do they have to redefine boundaries? Do they have to make room for someone who interrupted Ethan when she should have kept her big mouth shut? Why can I see that now when it's too late?
"Break is for 2 hours, Alice says. "Time to eat, work on personal projects, conference."
Ray's big on that.
"You can do whatever you want."
Gabriel gestures over his shoulder.
"We usually go across the street and get something to eat at the market. Everyone's kind of on their own."
On their own.
Right, I get it. I nod. Then I'll just stay.
Wanna come?
Ethan asks. Alice removes her leg and props it against the table.
I'm not supposed to take them off at school, but this one still bothers me.
She massages her stump. Gabriel and Ethan go on eating their lunches. I stare at the stump and then the artificial leg.
Does this bother you?
She asks.
I can put it back.
No. I'm just surprised. I didn't realize. Were you injured somehow?
No, I had a bacterial infection. Worse than most. Antibiotics weren't touching it, and by the time they were able to get a restricted antibiotic waiver, I'd already lost one leg. This one, actually.
She runs her fingers over her stump and grimaces.
I guess the first is hardest to lose.
Your other leg is artificial, too?
And my arms. I also had some organ damage, which is why I have to take this mountain of medicine.
She swallows a handful of pills and downs them with water.
My eyes shift from her stump to her hands. They look so real?
I nod.
I hear that a lot. Amazing what they can do these days.
She pulls up her sleeve, and I can see a barely perceptible line where artificial meets real skin.
They even customized it with my original moles and freckles.
Yeah, Gabriel adds through a mouthful of food. She has a whole constellation on her other arm.
Ethan doesn't say anything. He just watches me while he eats.
Sure, nice cosmetics, but I still have phantom pains. It's only been 6 months, so I'm hoping that will go away too. The biofeedback treatments worked on the others, but not on this one for some reason.
She stops rubbing her stump and picks up her sandwich. I watch her artificial fingers delicately bend and adjust around the bread just like they're real. I'm aware of prosthetic devices, but I think this is the first time I've seen them so close. The skin is as real as my own.
Alice glances at me, and I look away. I already have one strike against me by showing up Ethan. I don't want another by ogling her.
They've invited me into their circle. I want to stay here. I sit back in my chair, trying to look relaxed. A small dining area is carved out of one corner of the market. It holds two small tables, each with four chairs. They're crowded next to the juice aisle. Gabriel and Alice both got ready-made sandwiches from the refrigerated section. Ethan bought an apple, a bean and cheese burrito, and a bottle of milk. Even though he invited me to come, he seems reluctant to talk to me. I'm trying to keep my mouth shut, but since I'm not eating, it isn't easy.
What about Dane?
I ask.
I thought he was hungry.
Gabriel smirks.
Dane doesn't eat with us.
Because we're freaks?
I ask.
Speak for yourself,
Ethan snaps. His voice is loud and pocks the air between us.
I don't know what to say. I didn't mean that I thought he was a freak. I was just repeating Dane's words. But I'm afraid to even explain that. I might appear like I'm correcting him again.
I look out the window, a jammed-up feeling growing inside.
Am I going to cry? Or is it something else? My eyes are dry, but I feel like something wants to burst out of me.
I focus on the empty road outside.
Hold back. Hold it in.
Keep your mouth shut, Jenna. Keep it shut, shut, shut.
Well, Dane was certainly right about one thing,
I say, turning from the window to look straight into Ethan's eyes.
What's that?
He asks, daring me to answer.
You do have a magnetic personality.
Wonderful timing, Jenna. Now is not the time for my attitude to come out of hiding.
Gabriel stops chewing, and his eyes grow wide. Alice sets her sandwich aside. Ethan sits, stunned, like I just slapped him across the face. The tension holds us like a shock of electricity, and then something odd happens. Alice chuckles, a little snort at first, and then a deep expelling of air that comes all the way up from her belly.
Her laughter snags Gabriel, and puffs of air fill his cheeks, and then in the next breath, Ethan and I are snorting too, unable to maintain our scowls. Pieces of bread fly from Gabriel's mouth, and we all howl louder until finally, Alice says, holding her stomach, "I like you, Jenna." My laughter subsides, and I hear her sob.